Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to see so many friendly and familiar faces as we get ready to worship on this fifth Sunday of Pentecost and just take the opportunity to bring our blessings and our gift of community to God today. A few announcements before we get started. Please remember Brown Bag and Big Ideas continues. They've been going Mondays during June and July. We meet at the upper pavilion of Tuscora Park from noon to 1:15 to bring our brown bag lunches and have a little good Christian fellowship and just the opportunity to check in and care with each other during these crazy times. We welcome you to join us for any of those Mondays you are available. I want to continue to remind you of our guideline changes that have happened over the past few weeks. People continue to do a great job following those. Remember, masks remain optional, but we strongly encourage unvaccinated people and anyone who feels more comfortable with one to continue to wear them. If you want to sing for hymns, we do ask that you wear a mask when doing so. And we'll no longer be dismissing people by families, but please make sure we continue to space ourselves out as we continue to do. Some other announcements. The Provincial Synod will be having a pre-Synod meeting Monday night on Zoom at 7 p.m. for all the delegates that will be attending. That information should have been sent to you. If it wasn't, please let me know. And also, please keep in mind our bit-by-bit camp reunion, which will be taking place on July 31st. I'll make sure I get some permission slips sent out this week, but that's going to be at the Tusk County Fairgrounds from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and it's going to be for kids any age from Bethany and Tar Hollow age, so that's second grade through college, a big age group, so all of our kids are going to get an opportunity to participate in that if they're interested. I still strongly recommend it if you've had a kid who's been on the fence about going to camp but is afraid to do that 3 or 4 hour trip. This is a great opportunity for them to get their feet wet and get to meet some of the other kids in that group and make some friends. And this Thursday at the Parsonage at 10 a.m. we will have cares and prayers as we are grateful to have that small group back. And then next Sunday we will have Holy Communion in remembrance of the martyrdom of John Hunt. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Amen. John. At this time, we are going to turn it over to our VBS slideshow, and we really want to give you the opportunity to see what our kids and our staff experienced during our Earth, Wind, and Fire programming. I think you'll see that we had a great week. The kids learned a lot. I think the adults learned something too. And the best thing was that we were just able to gather and celebrate all the wonderful things that God is doing. That took place. Our first day was actually a scavenger hunt at Shenrun Village. So we're going to have a free will offering for anybody who would like to donate to Shenrun Village. I'll put this back in the back next to our other offering plate. But I think it's an important ministry to support, not just because it is a Moravian entity that celebrates our coming to Ohio, but it is also such an important part of our community. And they were hit hard during the midst of the pandemic by not being able to have the number of tourists and groups that they normally have. So whatever we can do to help and support them is greatly appreciated at this time. So let us now enjoy some of the pictures of our kids from this past week. Thank you. Why don't we give our CEC and our kids a round of applause? I think you can see our kids had a fantastic week, our staff had a fantastic week, and VBS week can be a very exhausting week for all involved, but I think all of us walk away feeling how worthwhile and meaningful it can be for all of us. So let us now take the opportunity to hear some scripture.
First reading today is Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 33. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. The second reading is Mark 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus again had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answers, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the truth. He said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Thank you guys for suffering with me for the last 5 weeks doing this. So.
Hey, he did a good job at first, though. And I promise I didn't pick as many crazy biblical names as I could for your first 2 months. It just happened to be the lectionary. So if you can get through these 2 months, you can get through anything. Let's turn now to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. Just a reminder for those of you who are joining us online, I will share with you the prayer concerns that I can share publicly. But I invite you to take the time of musical reflection to look at your own prayer chain, or to take some personal time of reflection. In our prayers this week, we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to some families. We start with Eleanor Bailey, who would be Carolyn Menapace's grandmother, who passed away this week. Carolyn is with her family at this time for a service of remembrance. We uplift her family in prayer, and we want to uplift Eleanor and her husband as well, who celebrated 72 years of faithful marriage to the day. So what a gift and what a blessing that is. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Howard Lewis after he passed away from a courageous battle with cancer. He is Deline Swinderman's cousin, and a service of remembrance was held and will be held for him in July. And we uplift Howard's family in prayer. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Spencer Monticelli, who passed away in a motorcycle accident last Sunday at the age of 19. Spencer was 19 and a friend of Justin, and I know there are others in the congregation who are affiliated with him and his family, so we continue to offer them prayers at this time. And then also prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of April Coventry, who passed away from an illness this past week. Her daughter was a classmate friend of Alicia Miller. We continue to uplift Jim in prayer. We've learned that he's been dealing with some shoulder pain, and it turns out he's got a torn rotator cuff, so we're hoping now that they have a diagnosis for that, he can feel a little better and help him in the rehab process. I think Jim, at 83, I know you're watching us on Facebook, I think you're going to have to retire from your baseball career at this point, but I think you'll be okay. And also, very important prayers to uplift as well. I just want to give thanksgiving and gratitude for our Eastern District Synod, which happened virtually this past week. Thank you for the leadership of our Eastern District Board for setting that up. And then we want to give thanks for the 13 years of service that Dave Bennett served as our district president. And we also want to welcome our new district president, who is Melissa Johnson, who is serving at Advent Moravian in Bethlehem, PA. She's a good friend of ours. I was actually her student pastor for 2 years while I was in seminary. She brings a tremendous amount of gifts and knowledge to the church, and we ask that you continue to pray for her as she transitions to this new position, for Advent Moravian as they enter the call process, and we are just grateful for her guidance. And then also, I want to make a special acknowledgement to of our church members who were elected to district positions. One, Jackie Pasquinelli, who was reelected for her third term on the Eastern District Board. We're very grateful for your service and your willingness to travel, well, willingness to zoom in right now from 400 miles away. But we are grateful when you will be able to make those trips again as well. And for Becky Canfield, who will be on our Church and Society Committee, we're grateful for your knowledge and gifts that you will bring to that committee. Luckily, there are no political issues going on in our country over these 4 years, so I'm sure there's nothing you guys will have to deal with, right? We just all hold hands and hug, and that would be wonderful. But I just want to give thanks for the ability of our wider church to gather. And there's so much we've lost during COVID, but when we get those opportunities to come together, we have a lot to be grateful for. So let us take some time to reflect in silence for the blessings, for the concerns, for the joys that are upon our hearts. Let's come to God in continued prayer. Gracious God, we come forward today to just have a conversation with you, to remember that our hearts and our ears remain open to your guidance in our lives. So help us to slow down a little bit, to pay attention to God in the midst of our lives and in our world. It is so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life, but today we are making a concentrated effort to slow down and pay attention to you. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, friendship, those in need of direction and guidance, those who are so scared and bogged down and beat down from life, they don't even know how to reach out their hand for help. Gracious God, help us through your strength, through your sense of mission, through your sense of purpose, be the hand that reaches out and shows them what Christ Jesus looks like in this world. As we celebrate not just your heroic efforts on the cross, but the movement that you created for each and every one of us to follow. So may we, all of us, be dressed and clothed in compassion. Look for opportunities to serve and reflect and remind that Jesus is alive. That is in the present tense, and we have the opportunity to share that present and gift every opportunity we can. So help us to do it faithfully and prayerfully. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our offering. We remind you that once again, there is no offering plate going around, but we continue to be thankful to the wonderful stewardship of our church who continues to step up in the midst of this pandemic. So we continue to think of the tithes, the offerings, and the gifts that we bring to God. I ask you to please stand as we listen to the offertory. Pray together the prayer of dedication. Heavenly Father, help us to count our blessings daily and to give out of the abundance that each one of us receives. May we always be cheerful givers. Amen. You may be seated. So for our children's chat today, I thought it would be a great opportunity to apply what we learned from our synod speaker, who was wonderful this year. We had David Lamott come and speak to our synod, and I encourage you, I think if you go to moravian.org, you should be able to see most of his presentation, but he is a speaker, a singer, an activist, and somebody who works hard to get the church into movement and into action. His speech was very meaningful and carried a lot of excellent knowledge about the Bible and other opportunities to serve in the church. But one of the interesting things he talked about in his lesson, as we talk about our children's chat today, is he talked about a hero that creates change, or a movement that creates change. And he talked about how a movement can always be better. It can be stronger because there's more people involved and it can go further. So for our children's chat today, we're actually going to do an example of that. So I'm going to ask, I need somebody to be a hero, and I'm thinking it should be somebody we gave a hero t-shirt to a few years ago. Jacob Cannon, would you stand up? Would you be my hero? He's already called and he's already answered. So we're going to talk about two very similar scenarios that are happening. In the Times Reporter, let's just pretend today that there was a report that came out, and it said that there are over 250 stray cats in Tuscarawas County that are not fed, that are not taken care of. Now, Jacob, having two cats of his own, has a soft spot for this, and he decides this is a call for heroic action. Three cats, oh my gosh. So you're already part of the problem and part of the solution. No, I'm just kidding. So you have the opportunity to serve. So you go about this county, and every single morning, you take a saucer of milk, and you search down every one of these 250 cats. You quit school, you quit your job, you make it your life mission to serve these cats, and you do it for your entire life. So by the time you're 90 years old, you are serving thousands of little cats in our county, and you're seeking them out, and you've given them milk, and by the time you've passed away, you've given over 2 million gallons of cat milk to cats in need, and there are thousands of cats in our county who are thankful for you, and Tuscarawas County and their gratitude make you into a beautiful statue, Mr. Cat Lady of Tuscarawas County, and you stand there looking happy and brave. So you can sit down, Jacob. So now I'm going to call on our kids. So that's the hero option. Now we're going to talk about the movement option. And so the movement option starts the same. You hear, we're going to start with actually Miss Paige Martin. Can you stand up for me? You're going to be our first part of the movement. You read that same newspaper article. You see that 250 cats are in Tuscarawas County in need of home. They're strays, that they need a place to go. So the first thing you do is you decide that it's a little nuts to try to feed 250 cats continuously over the day. So you get on the phone and you call your friend Tyler Castor. Tyler, can you stand up now? And you say, and you call Tyler and you say the six most dangerous words you can say in a church. You know what that is? I want to form a committee. That's what you said. If your parents are, let me give you a tip. If your parents are ever yakking away in church and you want to get out and you want to eat your lunch, yell that really loud and you will see them flood to your cars faster than you've ever seen. So you say those six words. I want to form a committee. And you call your friend Tyler, who you know is just as passionate about animals. And he helps you to form this committee. And he calls all of his friends. So Brandon, would you please stand up? And you join this committee of cat lovers and cat helpers who are there to feed cats, to help take care of them, and then find homes. And then Brandon does something really cool. He calls his friend Aubrey. Aubrey, stand up. And she gets involved with this. And you know that your friend Aubrey is really good at social media. So she starts a website for cat adoption that is just a hit with people, that makes it easier to connect with people. She puts pictures of little kids with cats that makes people want to adopt cats. And then Aubrey calls her brother Rylan. Rylan, please stand up. And he gets involved with this. He has a lot of social connections and know-it-all, and he starts campaigns to make sure that cat families stay small, that they don't grow to be humongous cat families. He gets in touch with Bob Barker. You don't even know who Bob Barker is, and he's already dead. But you get in touch with him to help you out. And you start a campaign that is in the newspaper, that is on the TV, and you remind people that it is important that we don't have too many stray cats in our county. Do you have any other kids that are left? Anybody that wants to stand? All right, we'll end with McKenna. You're going to be my last kid. How about that? Since as a CEC bylaws, you're going to be a kid for life, so we've already agreed to that. So by the time Paige starts, 70 years later, we get to McKenna. And you have done such a good job with this movement that started. McKenna wants to adopt a cat 70 years later, but guess what? She has to wait 6 months to get on a waiting list because your movement has done such a good job taking care of the cats in the county, that they all have homes, they all have a safe place to go to, that people are actually waiting to take care of those cats. You guys can sit right now. So, which one of those made a bigger impact? Who thinks it was the hero? Everybody can answer this one. Who thinks it was the movement? The movement. Who helped more cats? Who made more things happen? Who created more solutions? That's right, being a part of a movement. And guess what? Paige took the first step in that movement, and even though she did something that created an entire ripple effect, sorry, Paige, nobody's going to make a Mrs. Cat Lady statue for you in that movement, and I hope you can live with that. But guess what? What Paige did, her first step, her first action of mobilizing all these people touched so many more lives. And that's why it's important as disciples of Christ to be willing to be a part of the movement. Not just put Jesus on the platform and say Jesus is the hero, and yes, Jesus is absolutely heroic, but he also calls us to movement and action. So I hope you've learned that lesson from all the stray cats that we took care of today. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we ask that you bless these children and remind them that you have a sacred calling to be a part of this Christian team, that heroes are great and wonderful, but to be a part of this disciples, we can go further together, farther than we ever dreamed. So help us to take care of one another, mobilize one another, and remind us that as a team, we can go so much further with Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, we're going to dig deep into that Mark passage that Ross so nicely read for us from chapter 5. It's about the power of touch. And one of the things this pandemic is teaching us is to not take for granted the power of touch. Touch now in 2021 involves calculated risk, doesn't it? We have to decide who is worthy of our touch and who is not. It is hard on the spirit when we have spent so much time treating ourselves like the woman in this story, as we ourselves treat ourselves as we are unclean. And I have to admit, as a pastor, I still miss being able to shake everyone's hand after worship and just look you in the eyes and have that 3 to 5 second interaction we always have. I love that personal connection, even if it is just for a few seconds. And it's one of the reasons why I would never be a good megachurch pastor. I don't like preaching to strangers. I like that the people in our pews are my friends and neighbors. I know what sports teams you cheer for. I know what movies you watch. I know what books you read. And I love that. And I know, I may not know everything about your life, but hopefully I know enough to understand where you are coming from. In our gospel story today, we have another example of calculated risk when it comes to touch. This woman in our gospel story had been suffering from brain hemorrhages for 12 years. 12 years. Imagine that. What is the longest you have prayed for healing in your life? Think about that question. What's the longest you've prayed for something to be fixed? Perhaps you have dealt with cancer. Maybe it's been a long-term illness. Maybe you have dealt with daily pain, like migraines, back pain, stomach pain, knee pain, or something else that made you experience chronic pain. How long did you pray to be healed? Was it a week? 2 weeks, 3 months, a year, 5 years? When did you finally accept your fate that this was something you are going to have to deal with the rest of your life? And I guarantee the woman in our story has gotten every second opinion she could find. She's had third opinions. She's had fourth opinions. She's had second opinions for her fifth opinions. And she's made every recommendation and lifestyle change she could make. And there are still no answers for why this woman was continuously bleeding, why her brain was hemorrhaging. And a lot of commentaries argue whether this woman was faithful or whether this woman was just desperate when she reached out to Jesus. And I would argue that that argument is a moot point. I would argue that reaching out to Jesus is probably both an act of faith and both an act of desperation. One of my seminary professors said the three most honest prayers you will ever say in your life are help, thanks, and wow. Not a lot of words to those prayers. Help, thanks, and wow. You see, in moments of great need, God doesn't care how articulate we are with our prayers. God just wants to hear us connecting, reaching out for Him. And if when you pray, when you're really struggling, if all you can tell God is, "Dear God, please help me right now because I am unable to help myself," that is a holy prayer. That is a sacred prayer. In fact, that's holier than any prayer I or any person of God can say on a Sunday morning. God hears you when we pray like that. So what do we need to reach out to Jesus for help with? What burdens have we been carrying for years that we need to transfer to Jesus? What are you too scared to tell God about? What are you too scared to tell God about? See, the thing I love about this passage is that Jesus shows that He is not afraid to dirty Himself to meet us where we are. Author John Petty said, "Mark does not explicitly mention violations of the purity code, but there are two of them in this reading. First, the woman with the hemorrhage touched Jesus, rendering him unclean. Second, Jesus touched this woman who had recently died, and that also rendered him unclean." And you need to understand that becoming unclean in biblical world was a big deal. It wasn't as simply as easy as washing your hands and getting the hand sanitizer and feeling better and cleaner. It was a long process to get back to cleanliness. And in order to be unclean, you had to surrender your reputation, your status, and you had to risk being known by the very thing that made you vulnerable. See, the thing, pay attention to the fact in your Bible, very few of the people Jesus encountered and healed were actually named in the Bible. You rarely get their names. The blind man, the paralytic, the lepers, the possessed man, and the hemorrhaging woman, just to name a few. And that is not because those people didn't have names, but because when people looked at them, that is all they saw, was that vulnerability. And I think a real humbling exercise for you to do, for all of us to do from time to time, is think about what label people would use for us if they were describing us in a biblical story. It's easy to become humble when thinking about that. Yet Jesus is so different. Jesus sees so much more in these people and in us than our greatest weaknesses. That is why we can let Christ safely into our struggles and pain. That is why we can reach out to Jesus with anything that burdens us. Because Christ will look us in the eye as He looked the hemorrhaging woman in the eye and see our potential as disciples. When we are free of the heavy burdens weighing us down, He will truly look for ways to heal us. And when we hear this passage, it is so easy to hear it and wonder, why didn't God heal us or the loved one that we prayed about for 3 months, 6 months, 5 years, however long it has been? And it's important to remember that has nothing to do with a lack of faith, but it has everything to do with the fact that God's plan is far more mysterious and comprehensive than our human minds can understand. In fact, it's important to note even people who experience miraculous healings are not fully cured. And I have shared with you before as a congregation that I consider my cochlear implants that I have to be a miraculous gift from God. Yet I have to share with you humbly, there was a part of me that was disappointed when I received my first cochlear implant. Because I thought that surgery I was going under the knife for was going to be my cure-all. It was going to fix all the vulnerabilities and weaknesses that my hearing loss had caused me. It was going to make me a more confident man, more social, and lead me to the love of my life. And it turns out after my implant was activated, I was still anxious, shy, and my mother would tell you I was still single as heck. Luckily, I found my love later. But what happened at the end of the day was I realized that my hearing was healed, but the impact of hearing loss had on me as a human being, for that matter, was far from cured. It was something I was still going to have to deal with and wrestle with from that point on. So when we look at that lens through the lens of the hemorrhaging woman, it's important to think about that, because she endured 12 years of pain and suffering. And if we think she walked away from this encounter and returned to her normal life, we would sadly be mistaken. The saddest part of this encounter for me was that even after she was healed, no one bothered to ask her name or who she was. We don't get anything after verse 41 that says, oh, by the way, that was Tabitha, Mary, Susan, Sarah, or Lydia that was healed. No. From that point on, she was now the woman who had been healed of her hemorrhages. She would still be defined by what happened to her, not by who she was or what she believed in. Yet Jesus saw her differently. He saw her identity. I guarantee you that Jesus knew her name, or at least knew what her eye contact looked like. And it is a lesson for us. Because if we want to be labeled as something other than our sins and our weaknesses, we too have to reach out for Jesus. We too have to reach out with a little bit of faith and a little bit of desperation in our fingertips. Because when we do that, when we truly reach out for Jesus, we will not be denied. We will be welcomed. And Christ will look at us with our true identity. Not just our weaknesses and vulnerability, but everything that we are capable of being. And I guarantee you, when you reach out for Christ, you will never see the world the same. Because you will be invited into seeing the world from Christ's eyes. And what a beautiful world that is. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the people gathered in this room. Inspire us to reach out for you no matter how long we have been praying. And help us not necessarily to pray for results, but for understanding, knowing that healing does not fix all our problems, but is an opportunity to grow closer to you. So even in our vulnerabilities, our weaknesses, and sins, help us to see Christ Jesus. Help us to use them as an opportunity to find you, to come closer to you. And help us to know that no matter who is willing to reach out, no matter how long it has been since they've reached out for Christ, they have the opportunity to do so. And you will welcome each and every one of us with open arms and love in your heart. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. And now let us listen and reflect on our closing hymn. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.